This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule. Plus, Talkspace is in network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.
Off the ball. GAA.
Hurling traditions obviously will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan. Apologies for the delayed start. We've had our gremlins that tend to attack us every now and again. I am joined by Mr. Barry Murphy. Barry, how are you keeping?
Shane, not too bad. Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed, coming through loud and clear. Baz, I'll give a quick run down through the scores before I jump to you and see where you were tonight. And what a night we have had. So many talking points, it's impossible nearly to know where to start. But for the ins and outs of all of them, we're going to be relying on you guys, the listeners, to chat to us and fill us in. But a quick overview. Up the north, Derry nil, Pats nil in a game that I thought was destined for goals. The only goal, the game of the night that didn't give us any goals. Galway United 2, Bohemians 4. That's 3 in a row, I think, for Bohs who are on the march. At the 9th time of asking, Shelburne have won a home game. Shelburne 2, Waterford 1. Drogheda United in a game, very much a game of two halves. The live game that some of our listeners may have been watching on Virgin. A game of two halves. Drogheda coming back from 1-0 down at half time to draw 1-1. The shock of all shocks in the Battle of the Rovers at Tala. It's Shamrock Rovers 1 and a late winner for Sligo Rovers 2. Shamrock Rovers 1, Sligo Rovers 2. Wrap your head around that. In the first division, we have had Athlone 0, Cork City 3. Finn Harps coming from, I think, 2-0 down with 2 minutes left on the clock. And a great story up there. It'll be interesting to see if we have any Harps fans with Carl McHugh's son, who I believe only turned 16 this month, coming off the bench to get them an equaliser in injury time. Late goals and drama as well, as we saw Kerry come from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with Bohs. Wexford with a great 2-1 win at home to UCD. And amazingly, we still have a game ongoing as Treaty United and Cove Ramblers are still playing. Think about 5 minutes left in that one. Team bus issue in terms of the Cove Ramblers bus getting there. Then there was a floodlight failure. All sorts going on. I think that game might finish up on Saturday by the looks of things. But coming back around to the start, Barry, I think of all the storylines tonight, I think you may have witnessed the most dramatic, did you?
Shane, I'm in a frontless car park in all at the moment. Just shock, I think, is the overriding feeling of people leaving the ground. I think if you're there looking at it, though, you felt something was going to happen. The more time went by and Shamrock Rovers couldn't get that second goal, you felt that Sligo were going to come into the game at some stage, like Dundalk had done previously in a fixture here, and they did. So I thought John got the tactic spot on tonight. Listen, Shamrock Rovers started well, got their goal. Aaron Green pulled it back into the box. It was an own goal from who was it again? I think it was McHale, the young lad, got the own goal.
McHale, yeah.
You felt Shamrock Rovers were going to go through the gears here, and it's going to be inevitable. But they hung in there. Sligo, they had a great chance to level it just before half time. Darragh Patton, about 2 yards out, I don't know how he missed it. Half volley off the bar, should score there. And you think Rovers are going to pull away in the second half, and they just didn't. They clung on, and to be fair to them, they stood up so well, Sligo Rovers. They kind of played, it was a back five and a kind of a really rigid tight midfield, two in the middle in front of them, and two again in the centre of the pitch, and then one up front in Kavanagh, and they kept it tight. They gave up possession, ceded possession out wide to Shamrock Rovers, and they just couldn't break them down. And you just felt the more it was going to come on, the more the chances were going to come for Sligo. And they did, a great ball in into the box. Kavanagh should do better with the header. He doesn't. Asua finds the ball at the back post, and it's a brilliant finish. And then Rovers are pushing everyone on. The substitutes come on. They're pushing for a winner at the other end. John McGovern has a great chance. Great ball from Graham Burke through. John McGovern comes in. And Will Fitzgerald, he was absolutely excellent on the wing, came back in a covering tackle to save his team what you think was going to be a point. They go up the other end, the ball's in the corner, and it was a win back from Sligo in the corner. I'm not quite sure who it was. Mike Traore, I think it was, one of back in the corner, lays it off, and it's a brilliant ball into Carol McHugh, who slots it into the bottom corner. Phenomenal finish, and bedlam in the away end and Tala, and it's a deserved point, definitely, if not three for Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, unbelievable, Baz. I had a quick look at it online, and a guy who's been getting a huge amount of praise for Rovers, Subawale, his pass is just loose. He's trying to play the pass inside, and he overhits it, and as you say, that allows it to be intercepted and squared to Carroll McHugh. But still took a lot of finishing there from McHugh as well, didn't it?
It was brilliant. We were only speaking about his experience as well, and he just guides. I think it's Lee Grace comes across the block, and he just sticks it back where the ball came from. Ed McGinty's trying to move his feet, trying to get set in the centre of the goal. Slots it between him and the post. It's a wonderful finish, but they were a bit sloppy, Shamrock Rovers, all night. In the final third they were sloppy, but the equaliser came from an Ed McGinty mistake. He went to play it out from the back, under hit the pass. They win it back at the ball in. Kavanagh should do better, and the Sioux scores from there, and you think that you got to learn your lesson there, maybe take the point that's on offer at the moment. They didn't do that. As I say, Shabawala gave the ball away, and he's been flawless all season. But listen, that's a rallying cry if ever there was for Sligo Rovers, especially with the result in Tolka.
Yeah, certainly. Well, look, we've been lucky enough to have a few Shamrock Rovers fans and a few Sligo Rovers fans on so far this season, so hopefully we might hear from either or both sides there tonight. As Rovers have slipped up 2 weeks in a row, we thought Pats would be the team to apply the pressure. That hasn't been the case. The team that has absolutely capitalised on Rovers' poor little mini run of form has been Bohemians. We've got Anthony, who I'm sure will be delighted to talk to us tonight. Anthony, how are you keeping?
Hey Shane, how are you, Bar? How's it going?
All good. Anthony, you certainly got value for money. I would say that Dawson Devine scored a goal tonight that you would have had down for a goal of the season contender, and it turned out not to be the best goal of the match. I'm sure you guys won't mind too much that Ed McCarthy got a screamer. He still came away with the points. Give us your overview of it.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that Ed McCarthy goal. Holy God.
Unbelievable strike, isn't it?
Oh my God, because if you watch it there in slow motion, it backwards, he actually controls the ball with his foot. So he's doing his Zidane for
Zidane pirouette, 100%, yeah.
It's the Zidane pirouette, but he has his left foot rolls the ball away from whoever was the ball's player at the time. I can't remember who it was, and then he hits it, and Shuraski gets his feet together, and he's getting over, and it's like, it's the only place you can put it in the top corner. Brilliant. What a goal.
Incredible goal. But by all accounts, you guys were in looking good tonight and well on top over the overall balance of the game.
Yeah, look, like we spoke about last week, like the Bows are a streaky team, and they're in a good streak at the minute. The game started a bit funny, like it wasn't like Galway at all. So Bows kind of, and again, it's a different way than I used to watching Bows. They controlled the pace of the game. They controlled what they were doing. Diallo, obviously, Kimbourne and Hickey. Stephen Walsh was up front on his own, and every time he pressed up on his own, they just switched the play to the next person. It was like this slow build up that we're not used to in the League of Ireland. And that kind of wore Galway down a little bit, and Bowes get in. They got a fabulous goal through the void, just through, I think, pressure and them dropping off and the runners, and then eventually the void just stuck in the top corner. And then a few minutes later, Bowes, what they hadn't been doing, because Galway were sitting in deep and compact, they kind of broke away, and it was that one time where Galway kind of came out, because Bowes had got the first goal, and they just, Bowes doing what they're really, really good at and probably the best in the league at, is just break away. And the voice slipped in, Douglas James Taylor hadn't touched the ball till that point, and he just dragged it back onto his right foot and put it in the bottom corner, and Bowes are in cruise control, and there was nothing from Galway, really. It was kind of a bit of a strange one. It's not something you expect from Galway. Up until the 60th minute, they got a good goal. They brought Twardek on, they made a couple of changes at half time. They had a spell which was inevitable. They had a spell, they had one or two kind of half chances. Then Twardek got a ball deep, checked back in on his left foot, put a ball deep in. Darragh Power got caught under it, and a good header by Ed McCarthy, I think it was, as well. And that got them back in the game. And I wasn't down in Galway tonight, or across in Galway tonight, but there was I was watching it on the League of Ireland, and the two boys, you know, that do the commentary for.
Yeah, Keane would actually be a very good friend of mine, to be honest with you. Keane was very good to me when I was up there as Galway manager. He's a brilliant fella. He's very good in the commentary, isn't he?
They're very, very good, and the little bit of Oscar Elgin they throw in, and it's everybody, and the whole parish gets a mention, and the whole thing is, oh, actually, look, I think they're the best in the league whenever you're not at the game to listen to it. But I had to laugh at the quote, because as soon as that goal went in, Conor Parsons got the wrong side of the defender, got in the box, squared it to Tierney, and Tierney does put it in. It was a decent finish, and he goes, as we stroll down memory lane, both stroll into the box and score it, because they were talking about something that happened before, but it was brilliant. And that was, and straight away then Ed McCarthy scored, so we're getting a good game on our hands. Yeah, it was very good. Special mention goes to Keane Bourne coming in again, centre half. Before Bowes even scored, he made two or three unbelievable tackles and a little interception at the near post, and it just gave Bowes that kind of impetus to even, you know, when you look like you're in control, if you have that sort of defending or a crunching tackle in there as well, a 9 out of 10 performance. And usually when Bowes win and they win well, you're looking at 6 or 7 of them having 9 out of 10s. That didn't happen tonight. There was a few par performances. Performances and you still got a performance, a different sort of performance, I suppose.
Brilliant. Barry, have you ever seen a team to feed off confidence as much as this Bowes team? Like, just to put it into perspective, so they drew the opening game of the season. After that draw, they then won 5 in a row, they then failed to win any of the next 9, and now they've won 3 in a row again. I mean, they're streaky and they're streaky, but what is it with, like, I know confidence for all teams is, but this group in particular seem to have a bit of a mad thing with it.
That's incredible, isn't it? Like, it's a great team to come and support, Bowes. You know you're going to be entertained one way or the other. I'm just looking back at the goals there. My God. The voice goal is unbelievable, but that McCarthy goal is outrageous. That scored anywhere in the world. It's absolutely phenomenal. Like, but yeah, I know Anthony mentioned it there, Keane Byrne, but he's made a massive difference at centre-half. I think he's just such a natural centre-half. He reads the game so well in beside Hickey, who probably doesn't have that in his locker as of yet. He isn't an established centre-half, and possibly Todd being out or injured or out of favour, whatever it is with him. Especially in that game against Strada, Keane Byrne was excellent, and by the sounds of it, he's there again tonight. And again, Diallo in beside Dawson the Void seems to be making a massive difference going forward. I think he offers so much more going forward, and obviously the goals are coming from it.
Yeah, I think, was it a suspension, Anthony, that had Todd out, was it?
No, he's injured.
Injury, was it?
His hamstring, as well as Senna Mullen. So that's, and Schroeds didn't play either. I don't know what happened to him. I still can't find out either. But so that's 3 of our probably our best players are 9 out of 10s every week. Gone off the squad tonight, and obviously the squad was strong. Even when we looked under the pump, he made three changes and he made a difference. Parsons set up a goal straight away. Zane Moyers come on and relieved a bit of pressure as well. And when you're looking at the substitutions when they're made on the 70th minute and the 86th minute together, it always looks like you're in control of a game. So I suppose that in itself would show you kind of where Reynolds is at the minute, where he wasn't 3 weeks ago. But it just shows you the control that Bowes have there. Like away to Galway is a phenomenally tough game. Over the years, naturally enough, you'd be worried about it. Like I wasn't hoping for much there today. If we got 4 points out of tonight and Monday, I would have been happy enough. But now with confidence the way it is and the way Bowes play when they're confident, you'd fancy them on Monday.
Yeah, and look, as you mentioned, the changes and that the squad depth will be massive there. Obviously, with the short turnaround, it'll be interesting to see how many of that 11 he goes with again. Surely you would think, will he look to bring in 3 or 4 bodies, or will he keep fate with boys after such an impressive performance? It's probably a hard call for him then, actually, in terms of the 11 he picks now for Monday night.
Do you know what, Shane? That's a very, very good point, because I think, and I haven't figured it out, but since he came in, I think he's trying to figure out 2 or 3 different ways of playing and keep everybody guessing, along with Stephen O'Donnell. I know he's fond of playing inverted fullbacks and different things that just throw you. But in a league that only has 9 games around, you're going to need to come up with something a little bit better if you're not as good as the Shamrock Rovers are not normally. And you can't just steamroll teams, you have to be that little bit more innovative so teams don't figure you out. So I think that's what he's trying to do, and I think like tonight he tried to control the game and it worked for the first half. And I think you wouldn't know, we try and do plan B or plan C on Monday night and try and sit in and counter attack and kill the game in the quarters. I don't know, but it just seems like he's in control of what he'll do. And no, we're all kept guessing, even down to team selection. There's nothing on the website about who's injured or anything. It's just keep it under wraps, and I think that's his go-to. Like,
yeah, it makes sense. Well, look, it certainly has, the way results have gone the last two rounds, it certainly made Monday night's one a massively tasty one. Anthony, thanks a million for jumping on.
Fair play, lads. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Bye, Anthony.
Super stuff. Now we'll go from a man who we're going from one man who got all the excitement to another man who got absolutely no excitement whatsoever. And that's Marty, who witnessed the game, as I say, a game that I thought was destined for goals. We got none. Was it outstanding goalkeeping performances that saw us get a nil all, or was it 2 shite performances, Marty? What was it?
Yeah, you're right there, Shane. It's 2 very poor performances.
Really?
Yeah, if you'd never seen the League of Ireland before and you just didn't know how things stood, you'd probably think they were the 2 bottom teams. That's how it looked.
Really? That poor it was, yeah.
Yeah, like Pats were dreadful, like, and they were there to be hammered, but like Derry played with no striker again for 80 minutes. Even when we brought on a striker, we took off James Clark, who was playing the false 9. So it was like a straight swap. And kept Debo on the bench for the whole match. So, no ambition to win the game. And it was dreadful, yeah.
In a way, you're looking at it and going, you know, I probably thought you were possibly going to be betting this one, given how things had been going. I saw ye live for the first time last Friday night, I suppose, Marty. And I suppose we spoke about it, but I came away from it thinking, like, this... You didn't look like a team that's underperforming last week. You looked like a team who were where they deserved to be in the table, which isn't what I should be saying about you, given that you're not where anybody expected you to be. But was there any sort of light at the end of the tunnel tonight, or would you be looking at it and saying, well, look, at least we got a good solid defensive performance? Is there any positives from it?
No, like, he has to go for it. Like, we're now 2 points above Sligo on 9th. Like, Pats were terrible. Like, we had to go for it tonight and he just didn't do it. Like, it's madness. I can't believe it that he did not go for that match. Dreadful.
Yeah.
He's got, like, we're now half the season gone. We've won 4, drawn 9, lost 5. We've a 0 goal difference. That's how bad we are. We've a 0 goal difference. And tonight, Pats came up absolutely terrible. I'm sure our own fans would admit that. Like, they look shocking. A decent team would have beat them 5-0 tonight. That's how bad they are. And we play 80 minutes with no striker and then take off the false nine for Josh Thomas, who is kind of a channel runner anyway. He's not a centre forward, really, in my opinion.
And tell me, I see James was back in the team. How did he go on his return tonight?
He looked like a fellow who hadn't played in weeks and strangely positioned in the fact that, like, we were kind of playing.
Did he go straight back to midfield, or where was he?
Straight in, captain. He was supposed to be, I think, playing on the left wing, or maybe like as 2 tens on the left side, but he kept drifting back, kind of getting in Brandon Fleming's way, running up, so didn't do a whole lot really. But, you know, again, I'd defend him this time by saying, sure, he's been out for so long, and put him in as captain, like, from the start, again, is badness. Like, other players should have started there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm looking at the lineup here, so I assume last week he had Clark, Michael, and De Santos is the three behind the one. So Clark went to the centre forward role, and that freed up one of those three roles then for McLean to come in on the left of that attack, was it?
It was more like the Christmas tree we played against Shamrock Rovers without the intensity.
Well, sure, of course, you didn't have Duffy either, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like three centre midfielders. So Dunnigan moved into the six. You had O'Reilly on the right and Olenika on the left. Yes. And then you had McLean and Dos Santos ahead of that, and then Clark as kind of the false nine. But it was more like an attack at midfield three with no striker than a false nine, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. we created very little, you know.
Yeah,
Pat's probably had the best chance with a great save from Eddie Beach.
I was going to say, anybody catch the eye for Pat?
No, I thought they were very poor. They defended well, in fairness, I'd say that for them. But if you look at the players they have and all, they're so lackluster. And again, you have Shamrock Rovers losing, and Pat's, you know, can't take advantage. It reminds me of Derry, like when we were chasing Rovers all those years. It just happened to us all the time. Anytime you'd look and see Shamrock Rovers losing, we'd do the same. So frustrating.
Yeah, Barry, I was going to come to that. It's been bitterly disappointing couple of weeks for Pats, and it's actually, when you look at it, they've actually only won one of their last five. So it's amazing they're actually kind of still in the hunt at all. But it's, you know, such an opportunity to capitalise over the last two games and to end up kind of further behind. Row, are they? What have they picked up? They've picked up.
They gave a point on Rangers tonight, didn't they?
Warning: the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Bar everything that's happened, they gained a point. But yeah, it's similar to the last couple of seasons. Nobody can put any sort of real run together to challenge Rovers when they are in this spell. And we keep on saying it, but you've got to take advantage when Rovers do slip up like this. That's 2 weeks on the bounce. Rovers come out with no points and suddenly, like, they still find themselves gaining a bit of a lead there. Tony Bowes putting any sort of challenge into Rovers at the moment. You felt like this was a big game for Pats to go and really put a stamp on an underperforming Derry at home. Can he go and beat them away? Huge results going into Monday night or into next Friday, and they don't go and do it again. They just kind of live up to the expectation that they're not going to perform and it matters, and that's really frustrating.
Yeah, very, very much so. Who have you Monday night, Marty?
We've Shelbourne at home, the best away team in the league, so not too confident.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, all right. Yeah, you'd be thinking the home advantage would be of use to you there, but maybe not when it comes to Shelbourne. What sort of vibe or atmosphere, I suppose, was around the place?
Very, very toxic. You know, I think it's more they're just dragging it out now. Like, I think it is a failed experiment, you know. And not just, that's not all Tiernan's fault. Like, you know, I think I spoke before about the Lynch or the McLean signings and stuff like that. Probably not his. But, you know, it's gone woefully wrong here. As I said, we've half the season gone and we've won 4 games and we're 2 points off Sligo in 9th. So, we could get dragged into this. Like, we could end up, like, next Friday we're away to Dundalk as well. It'd be a tough place. So, you could see Derry in 9th, like, at the end of next week.
My God, that would be a depressing sight from your point of view. Marty, fair play for jumping on.
Thanks, lads. Have a good
one. Again.
Yeah, Marty.
Hey, Marty.
All right.
Barry, we finally, at the 9th time of asking, can say, Shane Kennedy, what was it like to win a game at home?
Lads, we're back. You're all talking about no one's putting their own together. I'm telling you, watch us, dark horses. Not joking. We got the lads back. We've got Meebo back. Hello, Jarvis. Went off injured. Boydie's back. Yeah, I know. We're a good team. That's so frustrating to give so many stupid goals away. But now we played that stupid box thing again, and we got a goal, a nice little goal, and then they got a little break and counter attacking goal, fair play to them. But we switched it up second half, a bit late, but we got there in the end.
Yeah, by looking just purely looking at the stats on it, it doesn't seem like he robbed it late on or anything. It does appear that you were well on top. I mean, I was looking at something like 7 or 8 shots on target compared to their 2, I think it was. Just turned the screw on them and found a way to get it over the line at the end, was it?
Yeah, we brought on Dickie came on for Jarvis at 55. Meebo came on. Boy, he got his goal, caused a little bit of ructions, put the ball in the box kind of thing. But we were good. Like, a goal was a lovely move, and then just give away another stupid goal. Our bench made a difference, and the change from the box to the 3-2 worked as well. Probably would have started that, but look, he got his goal, and you give away a goal 2 minutes later, it's hard to criticise too much. Like, but yeah, Meebo was back. I thought he was brilliant when he came on, just his pace, his strength. Now he does some stupid things that will frustrate you as a fan, but I suppose he backs himself to score from everywhere, so. But he'll make a massive difference to us. Like, it would be huge to have him back.
And is that the big difference? Because I was going to ask, I'm looking back here, right? I remember, I'm fairly sure you chatted with us the night you lost 4-3 at home to Drogheda. That's pretty much bang on a month ago. And for a fella who, to be fair to you, has never tended to be overly critical or over the top, you were very downbeat that night. I think there was proper questions that have been asked by yourself and for many others in relation to Joey and stuff like that. What's clicked in the last month, or what's changed in the last month? Is it just some players returning from injury, or what's helped things fall into place that things are now very much back on track?
Yeah, well, I suppose winning the home is nice. The players are back. Trying to even remember where we go. Our away record is championship level form. Like, it's mental, but we don't really rely on attacking kind of stuff when you go away. You know, you can just be compact, be tight. The pitches for me are a little bit smaller than Tolkien, although some people think I'm mad saying that. But yeah, you can play a bit more on the counter, and like, we scored a couple of set pieces, which is huge. Like, to go and win a league, you have to be able to score set pieces. Rovers have done it for years. I think the Dundalk win was like that as well. We played to the conditions a little bit. We're at home. Sam Bowen at home for me as a right centre half just doesn't offer us anything on forward. Big shout out to Cameron Ledwidge as well. He's like one of the best left centre halves in the league now, which is. I've been critical of him over the years, but now he's just got pace, power, his position. If we're not seeing the goal back, he checks about 3 times the winger to try and create a space to not just lump it forward, and it kind of recycles the ball into midfield. He's been brilliant. We do struggle a little bit at home, but tonight we created chances. So once you're creating those chances, like I said against Sligo, we had it kept the same way as we did the first half, we did the second half, but for some reason we switched it. But yeah, now the lads have, like, we have a good squad. 100% we do, like, and we're getting some bodies back, which is massive.
Yeah, you look at that, Shane. Just look at who they're able to bring back on. Like, Dickie Kelly was coming on, Meepo, Lundgren, Sean Boyd, Ellis Chapman. That's some substitutes to be able to bring on. And you look at that starting 11 as well. Like, that's quality all throughout that team. And as you said, they haven't been that bad. They just haven't got results over the line. Like, I think you're right. They do look decent.
Massive depth, as you described there. How important, Barry, is it for them to get that monkey off their back in terms of the home win?
100%. Like, the longer it goes on, the more you think the fate is against you. Like, but you like, just the difference in their away performances, their home performances aren't that different. It's just the results were totally different. They couldn't get it over the line at home, and that's a huge win going into next week or into Monday night as well. They'll fancy themselves big time going up to Derry now and getting something out of that as well. The way Derry are performing, then suddenly they're right back in it.
Yeah, you will fancy yourselves that one, Shane, won't you?
I'll be rich, sorry.
You will fancy yourselves heading up the road now on Monday, won't you?
Look, the way it is with Sheriff at the minute, it's madness. But any of the three results can happen no matter who you're playing against, which is probably when you're playing at home to Waterford, not a good team, that you can lose the match. It'd be tight. Like, it's a terrible pitch. It's one where it'll suit Sam Bowen to just not play. Like, he's a good footballer, but just attacking-wise doesn't give us enough for me. Dickie was unbelievable when he came on. He's having his Dundalk season, I think, as a winger. He's having it as a wing back. He creates an unbelievable chance for us. Then we go there, and look, if we win on Monday, I'll start believing again, to be honest. You'd have to. We're not a million miles away, but we just need little tweaks for me, and we're right back in it. And I haven't been impressed with Rovers all that much this season, to be honest. And with Pico being out there as well, and two lads away, they could easily slip up now during the week.
Yeah.
Shane, I spoke with John Russell before the game. He said the exact same thing. He said there's about 10% between all the teams, and it can go either way on the night. And like, the exact same thing happened in Tallaght tonight. You're right, teams have kind of have a way. There's a template of playing against Rovers up in Tallaght. Teams are starting to find that out a bit. If you can hang in, if you got one behind, if you can hang in, you're going to get chances at the end. There's nothing between a lot of these teams. It's who can make the most of this at the moment.
I was saying to Anthony when we were talking about Bowes, and you're probably in a similar situation now, that after a good win, it's probably a bit of a catch-22 now in terms of the 11 that started tonight. Short turnaround. Does he, you know, how many changes would you expect him to make on Monday night?
I'd say Kerr will come back in for an away game like that. John Martin probably didn't start tonight. He was suspended, so was Kerr. He'll probably come in. Joey definitely makes more changes than Rennie would now. I'd say you'll see a few. Maybe Gannon might play because Mbeng's only back. But there won't be too many. Rossi will probably come in. I don't know, Joey's having Friday. Mondays have been 4 or 5, which is kind of, it's trying to save bodies. One, there's injuries, and two, it's a lot, as you said, it's a long season. You've got Europe, which is massive for us. Will Jarvis went off injured tonight. He got his goal tonight. He was brilliant. I seen on some app thing he got man of the match, and he's just different level when he plays to that. Like, there's very few players in the league like him. For me, he just draws two or three players in, which creates space for everyone else. Some would argue he slows us down, but they're the people that you want in your team.
It's a lovely finish as well, isn't it? They have to the right to slip it in. Lovely little finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you would expect him to bend it, but I think the keeper probably thought that, and that's why he completely caught him off guard.
Yeah, listen, if he's back humming and giving you a tune again, it's you know, that'll have a massive transformation on your ability in the final third as well, won't it?
Yeah, especially against those teams at home. Yeah, I couldn't believe he took him off against Drogheda. Literally couldn't, like, Lundgren, no offence to him, but he's not Will Jarvis and he won't ever be, but luxury. So yeah, I couldn't believe he took him off at home to them, but again, maybe he's trying to save his injuries, I'm not sure.
And sorry, Shane, what position did he start in?
Left wing back.
He was still playing wing back, okay.
Yeah, he was, but the difference with Ledridge beside him, he was a lot higher tonight than he has been. And when you're playing at home to like a Pats or whoever, you have to defend. We didn't really have to defend too much tonight at all. Like, to be fair to Waterford, they had a 15-minute spell in the second half where they were actually pretty decent. Didn't create a whole lot, but they had much more of the ball. I wouldn't fear for Waterford a little bit, but they're, I don't know what recruitment, just to touch on them, they can make in the off season or in the July window. I don't know, but They're obviously showing some fight, to be fair. All credit to them. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you be able to head up the road Monday?
Yeah, I have the ticket, yeah, all sorted, yeah. You can't, once these new stadiums come around, you could do everything you can. There's nothing worse as a League of Ireland fan when you're listening to the fans say, have you been to this stadium, that stadium? So there's only a short window, so yeah. The uncle won't be going with me though, he has a skilled concert, God love him.
Thankfully
it's on Tuesday as well, so we may be able to go to that one.
Good man. Keep everybody happy. Well, listen, you may jump in again next Friday and give us your travel log review of your trip up there to a new stadium. So Shane, fair play for jumping on.
Cheers, thank you.
Talk to you later. Great stuff as ever from Shane there, brilliant. We will drop down into the first division bar for a minute here. We have Kian on, who is a Cork City fan, a club that absolutely were expected to run away with it, then hit a bit of a blip that had everybody concerned, and there was all sorts of fan turmoil and protests and all sorts, but things are very much back on track, Kian.
Yeah, you know, you're killing me every time you say drop down to the first division before you bring me on.
apologies. Listen, you'll only have to listen to it for this season by the looks of it.
Yeah, no.
Were you at the game, Ian?
No, I was working, so I got home in time to watch it.
What did you make of it? Because I'll be honest, I saw the starting lineup. You were without a few, including Shawnee, and I was looking, going, "Oh, this could be a banana skin." But you managed to deal with it reasonably easily, I think.
Yeah, no, I thought we played well enough. I thought Alon were decent. They played well enough. But I think a lot of teams, I said before, kind of play like that when they play us is probably their cup final. But like Alon could get hammered next week, but they put up a good show there tonight. Like it was an open game, a lot of chances in it. Conor Dryden goal of the season, I'd say there. He just kind of. I don't know if you saw his goal, but it was just a matter of
get out of my way
and putting this in the top corner.
Yeah, super strike. I had cons at Cove actually. I think if I remember correctly, I think Liam Buckley might have actually was Buckley at Cork. He was. I think Liam Buckley might have paid us
a couple of months
to bring cons in. But he's in a decent run of form for you at the moment, actually, isn't he?
Yeah, that year he had the injury. I think was it the ACL he had? He was out for a year.
Mm.
Even when he came back last season, he had a couple of goals and he played well enough. He seems to be the shining light there at the moment. He seems to be doing well. He definitely should get a chance next season, even just as a squad player, just depending on who they sign. Like the third goal was a joke. Like it was never a penalty. Like it's
really soft one.
Into a small shove into the back and the ref just blew penalty spot for the way. I think that long players didn't know what was going on. They were shocked.
Mpongo's been decent for you though.
Mpongo's good, yeah, he's getting them goals. I think I said to that before, I think he could end up like Jack Doherty though. It's the first division, we won't know until next season. Obviously they paid a big fee for him, so they're probably expecting big things out of him.
Yeah,
he's probably flourished as well since one of Keating or Maguire doesn't play.
He
loses out big time in the three, but he's in the two, he's plays a lot better.
Yeah, for sure.
If we went to the summer window and we make signings that are signings for the Premier Division, then things could settle down. If we went to the summer window and do nothing, then it'll probably start up again. There's no good look for players in October. Like they're all signed up, they have their deals done.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, Barry. It's a mad one, isn't it? Trying to kind of get a feel for what's going on down there. They're 9 points clear at the top of the first division, and yet you seem to hear more kind of doom and gloom coming out of the place than positivity. Look, they're an absolutely massive club that, if they got their act together properly, are ones that could literally go right back up round and be challenging for European spots and possibly even better again. But yeah, it's a hard club to gauge just what's going on there.
Yeah, it is. You're right, Shane. If they get it right down there, they get the right people involved, the right players in. It's one of the best clubs in the country, and should be challenging. Should be in Europe every year, and should be challenging for the league. But again, it's about you're right. It's about the signings in July. Have you got the foresight to go and get these players in the door now? Bed them in. Let Robson have a look at them for a little bit, and then have a real challenge in the Premier and sort of staying in it, and not just trying to stay in it, actually doing the Dundalk, taking teams on, going and trying to push up the league, or are you just going to try and hope you stay in, try and get that second last spot, win a playoff and stay in that way. It doesn't work that way in the Premier. You've got to attack it. You've got to have the players to do that. And you've got to make those signings earlier rather than later. You're right. People, the league isn't like it was years ago. You can't wait to try and sign players now in December, in January, and hoping you're going to get the best players. It's all done early now, the way it should be done. And they need to get on that train early, and it starts in July.
Keane, what have you, we're pretty much at the halfway point there, thereabouts, I suppose, in the first division. What have you made of Robson so far?
It could be a hard watch, but I don't know, is it a hard watch because he just wants to get up, or is he here just to get a division under his belt and head off again? Like, we don't know if he's going to be here next season. There's a lot of rumours around the place that he won't be here next season.
Well, that's not ideal in terms of, well, you spoke about the need to make signings early and not wait till next year. Can you put faith in a manager who you think mightn't be there next year to be the one to make the signings that are required for next year? That's a bit of an awkward one, isn't it?
Yeah, so hopefully he is there just for the stability, but rumours around the place, we don't know if he will be here or not, or will he go or will he stay, you know, but it's a funny one. But even there, just going back to what you were saying about around the club and this stuff there, I know I don't want to bash the owner again now, but when he came in originally, we played Bowes, I think, his first home game, and after the game, I think the club socials thanked Bowes for coming to town. Like, you know, there's a bit of a softness there. Like, we're down in Cork, we're against a lot of Dublin teams, a lot of Dublin referees, and they're not just, you know, but you have to make it a bit of a fortress. You can't be all thanks Bowes Rovers for coming down to Cork, like, you know, and all clap each other's backs, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've played down there many a time. I never had a thanks Shamrock Rovers coming down the road, and never got that.
And I know
far from it. That was a good Cork team as well. So, yeah, can't see that happening.
Keen, fair play for jumping on. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
Chat to you again. We'll go to our next caller, Toby. Toby, you have now seen Waterford either score or concede an injury time goal that has influenced the result in all of the three games you've played in the last 8 days. How do you wrap your head around all of that? Has it been a good 8 days or a bad 8 days?
It's been an okay 8 days, if you know what I mean. It's been like okay, you know, in terms of, like, we got the win on Monday, and then we obviously lost today in heartbreaking fashion. So it's been okay, not ideal, but it's been okay.
Yeah, if you'd got another draw tonight, you would definitely have said it was a really good 8 days, really. I mean, I was down there, we spoke about down last week, I was so impressed with you last night, absolute daylight robbery, or last Friday night, for you not to have got that result. But then I suppose it's, as they say, it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? You certainly got a bit of fortune Monday night. I think even the most ardent of Waterford fans would do well to claim that the penalty that you got to win the game was deserved.
we don't go there with that. We don't go there.
but was it a decent performance Monday night? You got the rub of the green, but did you maybe deserve the rub of the green based on how you played? I didn't see any of that one from Monday night.
Well, I'll put it this way. The first half was a bit... Drogheda kind of dominated the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes, I thought. And then, obviously, Drogheda got the goal, which was scrappy enough as it was. Just, you know, obviously, the rain was falling down, the ball was just slippery, everyone was just clearing it, then just went into the net. Then we kind of got back into it in the first half, and then obviously we got the goal to get us the equalizer, and then going to halftime. Then the second half, Drogheda could have landed a glove on us. I thought the second half we were brilliant. Like, second half, we deserved more of that penalty. We deserved a goal there, at least.
Brilliant, good, and obviously he made a decent fist of it. I believe you were under pressure for the majority of the game tonight, but you must have made a decent fist of it that you've been so close to coming away with something again against a team that obviously would be expecting to finish a lot higher in the table than you.
Look, the end of the day, obviously in the first half, Shells came out like no tomorrow. Shells came out firing. And obviously they got the goal, which was a brilliant ball to get the goal. Then we just got the breakthrough and just got the goal for it. Then the second half, we had a period for like 10 or 15 minutes that we were actually good. We were lucky not to score at least one goal, I thought, for Port Ireland.
Yeah, Barry, they have a huge 5 days coming up. So their Monday-Friday combination is Drogheda Monday, Sligo Friday. As relegation battles go, that's kind of a massive few days for them, isn't it?
It all hinges on that. We're at the halfway point now, realistically. And you look at Cork last season, got relegated on 24 points. Like, you're looking at probably the 28, 29 mark they need to be getting to have any chance of getting out of that bottom spot. It has to start with two wins now. You've got to go and win those two games on the try, I think, to have any chance of pulling this back, realistically. And looking what the level that Sligo can possibly get, the example tonight, they were excellent when needed to be. Could I see a Waterford coming to Tallinn winning? I don't really see that happening, so they need to pick up their points elsewhere against the team around them. That's just realistically how it has to happen.
Toby, what's achievable for you across those two games?
Well, the end of the day, Drogheda next week, we have to win that, realistically. We have to win Drogheda, which after that Drogheda game on Monday, I think we could do, because obviously Drogheda drew tonight, which I know was a game of two halves, but will Drogheda do it again? I honestly don't know. Just right, Kevin Doughty, he's a good manager, don't get me wrong, he's a brilliant manager, I think he's a good manager, but it's just he kind of needs to get his tactics right in a way and just hopefully just get the result, because against Waterford his tactics are a bit wrong, you know.
You reckon? Yeah, no, it'll be an interesting few days. We'll chat again and see how it went for you next Friday, Toby.
Yeah, sounds good, Chase. See you, Barry.
Great stuff. Thanks for jumping on. Barry, just on that, when he mentions Drogheda there, as I say, that was the game on Virgin tonight, and I suppose the reason that I called it a game of two halves is that, like, that first half they put in was everything that is good about Dundalk. It was high energy, pressing high, constant harassing, you know, not a moment for any Drogheda player. Really impressive performance from Arubi again, a brilliant finish for his goal. Everything that we've been saying about Dundalk was evident in that first half, and Kevin Doherty will have been so disappointed with his Drogheda side in the first half. And then in the second half, Kev changes formation. He goes back to a wing-back system. They look far more structured, far harder to break down. They go and score yet another set-piece goal with an outstanding delivery, by the way, by Brandon Kavanagh, and a good header that it still needed finishing, but it couldn't have been set up nicer for him with the delivery. And it's like, first half had been everything that we know of Dundalk when they're good, and then second half was absolutely everything we know of Drogheda when they're good. Who's the happier with that result?
I think it's just the week that's gone. I think Killer would be the happier manager. The winning against Shamrock Rovers, you had offered him 4 points from these two games, he would snap their hand off. I think that took a lot out of him, that game, down to 10 men. Yeah, huge periods defending. I think if you'd offered him 4 points, he would have snapped your hand off. But it's a decent result for Drogheda to know that you can change. I think they're better with wing backs. I think that just suits them. I think it suits the way the Kev's playing. And over the years, you've had like a Darren Markey sitting in that sixth role. They've probably been missing a player of that quality to break lines, and he's trying to look at playing alternative ways of doing that and getting players on the ball. But it's not a bad result for him in a derby game as well. Kind of stops the rot a little bit from Kev's point of view.
Absolutely. Well, just before we finish up, we can give a full-time result in the final game of the night, and we have had yet another injury time goal that has altered the scoreline. Dylan McGlade popping up with a 91st minute penalty. I'd imagine that Tommy Barrister might be overly happy with his side conceding a penalty late on. We'll have to see whether there's any controversy around that one. So that's three games in the first division. Cove, who come up with a 91st minute winner. Kerry, who have come from two down to equalise in the 92nd minute. And just going back to that one, Barry, look, you will have come across him. I don't know, did he put a few past you in his time? Kevin McHugh, one of the best known goal scorers of the last probably 20 years in the League of Ireland. Son turned 16 earlier this month, off the bench to get a draw for his dad. What a story.
Ah, it's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, he definitely has. I'm sure there's not too many that haven't put a few passes, to be honest. But 16, jeez, that makes me feel old now. But it's incredible how many players have had sons to go on and play in this league, isn't it? It's mad. It's something in the genes. But that's a real throwback. What was it, a late bus arrival and the floodlights go out? That's a real throwback in League of Ireland.
It is a serious combination there. Look, as we said, a short turnaround with a couple of games again on Monday night. Plenty of talking points from tonight, that's for sure, and the picture will have changed even further by the time we're chatting again on Friday night. But thank you very much to everybody who buzzed in tonight. Barry, thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers, Shane. Have a good weekend.
We'll chat to you all again next week. Good luck.
Off the Ball, GAA.
Hurling traditions, obviously, will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.